Reading from 2 Corinthians 5, 4 through 5. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 4 through 5 from the New Living Translation.
And that was the voice of my special guest on this, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, Dr. Kevin Teal. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, June 10th, 2026. Kind of a testimony Tuesday on Wednesday. Now, yesterday you heard me interview Ann Hogan about all the things she's doing in and around the Springfield area with the upcoming Sunday Summer Worship Night. She's all about worship and prayer. Well, today's guest, my friend Dr. Kevin Teal, he's all about God's Word. He's about healing, hope, and calling, the various callings that God has on his life and on your life today, listening friend. I hope as you tune in, as you pray up the program, as you receive the prayer that Dr. Teal, Kevin has prayed, and I have prayed on behalf of you on how God might use this program. I might be jumping around a little bit because I'm excited to share this friend with you. Some of you may remember past interviews. One time in our makeshift studio at the Salvation Army, I had you share some of your story, life story, and I think I've had at least two of your messages, one that you preached at First Christian, and that's when I got to know you. I thought, this guy can preach, and he's a doctor, a physician, a surgeon,
neurosurgeon,
and then I heard you at Temple Baptist another time preaching away. I think both of those got on the air in the past, but we're here at the home studio, and I appreciate you carving out time. We're at the recent pastor and ministry leader luncheon this past Thursday and did a little announcement. And I took away a couple of your crowns or some of your jewels because you said, don't give me the credit. But I said, Kevin, I have to share this with the pastors and ministry leaders, but I want to also share it this morning that one thing I highly appreciate about Kevin, Dr. Teal, is not only his passion for God's word, his desire to divide it, to share, to preach. He's filled the pulpit in many different situations. But his faithfulness to God's calling on his life. Here's a surgeon, a doctor that spent hours and hours study, preparation, exams, all the things that doctors go through to be certified, to be credentialed. I'm way beyond my skill sets in explaining it, but you spent many years as a very successful neurosurgeon. Yeah. And I think 2022, God started saying, I want to transition you into being a chaplain. So share a little of that story, and then we're going to touch on 2 Corinthians 5, 4 and 5, and maybe some special things that you're doing for OSF now.
Well, I had accepted a calling to preach in 1995. So I've been doing ministry in some capacity and doing medicine since then. And so when I started in my preaching journey and ministry journey, the pastors who I accepted my calling under said, well, God will let you know when it's time to transition. So I was trying to glorify God during neurosurgery, trying to be present with people and take good care of people. And I sensed around the 2022 timeframe that God was letting me know that I was reaching a season of transitioning. And so I was like, well, I'm not sure what that looks like, God. I'm not sure what that means. And God had put the idea of getting a master's in divinity in my mind. And I had encountered a chaplain when I was in the Army in 1997, Chaplain Bill Green, who went on to become the chief of the Army chaplains. And so he was a very influential figure for me in chaplaincy and ministry. And so I sensed that God wanted me to look at the healthcare field from the chaplaincy role and be able to minister to people in that setting. I'd been working on the biology for 31 years, and I sensed that God wanted me to expand my horizons and get into the spiritual care aspect, which would include addressing that there were biological concerns, but be on the side of the aisle that was addressing the spiritual concerns of the patient and treat them in that holistic way, body, soul, and spirit. And so I accepted that calling in 2022 and went to Liberty and got my MDiv in professional chaplaincy, completed that in 2024, did a year of clinical pastoral education at Carl Broman under Mother Molly Ward there. And then after completing that year, got involved in hospice chaplaincy, and I've been doing that since September of 2025 and with OSF since November of 2025.
So about 7 or 8 months. So
yes.
Pretty recent. And that's why you haven't made all the pastor and ministry leaders luncheons.
Right.
I miss seeing you on those Thursdays because you're working, or prior to that, you were being trained and equipped.
Right.
But I think the fact that you gave up this great career as a neurosurgeon, making good money and provision and being taken care of, how did God get your attention to say, hey, you're going to give up kind of this great occupation that you studied so hard for to make peanuts in a sense? You know, you're going to be a chaplain. You're not going to make a whole lot.
Right. Well, I think, Mark, the way I envision it right is that God had allowed me to do neurosurgery for 31 years. I mean, some of that was training. But I think that for me, neurosurgery was never the end. Mm-hmm. It was what God had me doing, right? And so my perspective was that neurosurgery is something that I do. It's not something that I am. So I always kept a boundary between my identity and my profession.
Mm-hmm.
And so my identity is a son of God. My identity is a child of God. And so when God says, your time is up in this arena, then it's time to consider obeying that voice, right? And I think neurosurgery is a very tough career. We see people with trauma, brain tumors, paralysis. So that's no picnic profession, right? And so I think that like any healthcare provider, there's a lot of stress. There's burnout. There is cost relationally and health-wise and even spiritually. So I sensed that I was getting to a place where I had done all I could do constructively in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was time to transition because God had more for me to do. Now, I could make that a hill to die on and say, this is who I am and this is what I'm doing and I'm never giving it up. Or I could say, God, you gave this to me and I'm going to give it back because you are the most important relationship in my life.
And I love that you brought up, and I wrote it down, our identity, because many of our listeners, and me included, we have to oftentimes remind ourselves our identity is a beloved child, a beloved man, a beloved woman of God. That's where we need to draw our ultimate identity from. Yes, we might have titles or incomes or skill sets or whatever that helps along the way, but our true identity really needs to be found in the Lord.
Really needs to be found in the Lord. And I think, again, the material blessings that go with anything, the question God has is, do you love that more than you love me?
Mm.
And I think whenever I start loving something more than I love God, it's become an idol. And so it's nice to get paid well. It's nice to, you know, have that revenue stream. But ideally, you're saving some of that. You're investing some of that. So you're not living at the end of your rope.
Right.
So there's margin. And so God had given me a gracious wife, Yvonne, who helped us create margin. And so God had already deposited in our spirit. We don't want to be held captive to a paycheck. Mm-hmm. And the biggest challenge God has is, do you trust me to handle what you need?
Mm-hmm.
And don't be impractical about it. Go to work, you know, pay your bills, but save money, invest. But at the end of the day, God is bigger than whatever's in your 401k, whatever your portfolio is. If all that can't be put to the side for a kingdom call, then you're like that rich young ruler who went away sad when God said, put it all on the altar for me and come follow me.
I think the other day when we were kidding about your situation and I had you before the group making an announcement for OSF, the grief support groups, hopefully some of our broadcast today we can talk about the great work, but you were saying, you know, you were in a sense, in a healthy way, fearful that if you didn't obey God and give up what you were doing because you felt the strong call to do something new, that you would be outside of His will.
Yeah, that's a very dangerous place to be. And you and I were talking earlier about the sovereignty of God.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that nothing is accidental. What I was able to do in neurosurgery was a divine thing. There were people in my med school class who were ahead of me and better connected and all this kind of stuff. But I matched in the neurosurgery residency and the other person didn't.
Mm-hmm.
There were people in my residency who died while they were practicing 2 years into their practice. So nothing is a given, and I believe I've divinely been ordained by God and protected by God to get to a place and to be an influence for God. And when I can no longer do that in a sphere, it's kind of like when Elijah was waiting on the ravens to bring the meat and the brook to keep running. When the brook dried up and the ravens stopped coming, God said, Elijah, we're going places.
It's time.
You need to move. Yeah. So I want to be obedient to perceive that if I'm in a setting and it's, I'm sensing that God is calling me someplace else and I can't honor God in this place, but I'm nailing myself down and hunkering down against the will of God. I think Jonah and Paul teach us that those are positions where God will then forcefully knock you off the horse in broad daylight or put you in the belly of a whale to get some attitude adjustment. I've had enough attitude adjustment seminars with God.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have another one.
Yeah, well, we had some great conversations about God's sovereignty and trying to fall in line with his will and the fruit of the Spirit. We want that to be evident. And I've preached this a few times over the air. Whenever we step outside of any of those fruits, we're acting in the flesh and we're not being led of God. And so it's a constant reminder how much we need Jesus and we have to surrender and submit. But that's a positive thing because he's a holy, righteous, loving, good God, full of grace and mercy. And so he will direct and lead us. But why 2 Corinthians 5, 4, and 5 of all the scriptures? Now, give this as a disclaimer. Many times I've asked you favorite verses, and they're always changing, but it's because you're in God's Word constantly, and you're always reading and studying. So when you walked into the studio, I said, hey, what's a good verse to start with? And I usually tell people, you know, everyone likes Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, or John 3, 16. You said, well, just the other day, in fact, yesterday, and so this is very fresh. So why 2 Corinthians 5, 4, and 5?
Well, I'm trying to recommit. We were talking earlier about recommitting to engaging with the Word of God first and often. Yeah. And I've read a book called Gospel Fluency, which was an incredible book, but it talks about us being students of the Word of God. So I'm recommitting in this year to being a student of the Word of God and trying to read a regimen of New Testament, Old Testament in the morning and Psalm and Proverbs at night, one chapter. And so a few days ago, I was in Corinthians chapter 5, and this verse 4 really jumped out to me.
Yeah, I think you said to me off air, God used it to hammer you.
Yeah, yeah. I call those divine promptings or Holy Spirit wake-ups. And so we practice a regimen of praying the word. And so this was a rhema word for me. Hmm. When it talks about at the end of verse 4, it says, rather we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Hmm. And I thought, what a perspective that death is the opportunity for my dying body to be finally deposited so that my new body will be there for me, that glorified body. And so in essence, I've been swallowed up by life. Life won. When we put people in the ground, sometimes we think the death won. That's the end of them. But if they're a believer, they've been swallowed up by life. Mm. Death has been broken. The victory is there. And I love verse 5. It says, who prepared this? God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, he's given us his Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So I love God. God doesn't do anything without putting his stamp on it. Mm-hmm. And his stamp on every believer is the Holy Spirit. So you mentioned the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. The mark of us being alive in Christ is that we are bearing that fruit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so the mark of us being able to walk through this life and know that these bodies, which we're groaning and sighing in, that's not the final answer. They're going to be swallowed up. In fact, they have been swallowed up by the eternal life that Christ is offering us, right? So now we have this Zoe life that they talk about in Greek. That's not the bios. That's the spiritual life, right? Those verses just really resonated with me that day. And I walked around all that day thinking, my life has been swallowed up by the life of Christ. Hmm. How am I modeling that? The guarantee of that is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. How am I reflecting that?
Yeah, he has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Listening friend, I'm not sure where you're at on your faith journey and your walk with Jesus. If you believe that God sent Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who died for your sins, died for my sins, have you accepted him? Have you reached out to him? Have you surrendered to him? God has made a way into a relationship with him through the Lord Jesus. I think I mentioned this yesterday, that verse, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So you can't make yourself clean or acceptable to God. It's only through what Jesus did on your behalf, on my behalf, that we can have that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's powerful, right? And I think that, again, we live in a world, I move into space, you move into space, where there's all kind of ideologies and theologies. But I think this is a transcendent affirmation that these bodies, which are going through turmoil and going through life, they're not our final bodies. We got new bodies coming. We got new models coming. Yeah. And that's a guarantee. That's not a hope so.
Right.
And so as a believer who's walking the word and staying anchored in the Bible and actually believes it's the authoritative word of God for all time, what a hope I have in Christ.
Yeah. And it's not a fallacy. It's not a hope for. It's a reality. There is an eternity destined for all of us. And those of us that have followed the Lord Jesus Christ, accepted him as Lord and Savior, we're guaranteed that eternity with God where there's no more heartache or tears or loss of life. There's an eternity that'll be fruitful and in the very presence of God. We can't even imagine it, but we like to. And it's going to be wonderful because God has proven his great love and care and compassion. Well, you share a lot of love and care and compassion through OSF. You serve as a pastoral care and bereavement coordinator. You're kind of like, I won't say a glorified chaplain, but you get to utilize your skills and your care and your intuitive sense of how to help and bring healing. In fact, you were here earlier with me, and it was like a counseling session, but it was more like a coaching session because I'm kind of energized and was built up, and you gave some great illustrations about the difference between grieving and mourning. And you also cited 2 Corinthians 1, I think 3 and 4, and we have about 4 or 5 minutes, but 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, I think might be helpful for a number of listeners today. And maybe we can touch on some of what OSF is doing, providing grief support and small groups.
Okay. You want me to read the verse first?
Yes.
Okay. So 2 Corinthians 3 through 4 says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us."
Yeah. It's a powerful verse, and all of us have experienced trauma or heartache or disappointment, frustration. But can God use that for us to assist others, to bring healing or hope or insight or a pat on the back? I shared this last year at some point, but many times it's important when you show up to shut up and not share a specific verse or an insight or a scripture that maybe comes to mind. Sometimes you just need to show up and listen and show this care and compassion. And when the person is maybe able to receive certain points of view or information, then you give it. But depending on the severity of the loss or the hurt or the heartache, it's always best to show up and shut up. I thought it's a great advice.
Sir. Yes, sir.
So, but you get to provide small group support. Can you walk us through a little of that in our closing 3 or 4 minutes?
Sure. As we saw in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, there is a comforting role that God does for us, and we become his ambassadors of comfort. There's a book called The Funeral, which talks about when somebody experiences a loss of a loved one, you want to do 3 things if you're on the front line. You want to hang around, you want to hug, and you want to hush, the 3 H's. So hang around, just be there. Then you want to hug them, make contact, and you want to hush. And so this ministry of presence and active listening are the foundations of being there. Let them talk their way clear. Don't try to correct them. Don't try to rebuke them. God can take care of himself. If they're angry at God, don't try to defend God. God's big enough to handle it for himself. So in our grief groups, we're walking through some grief strategies for people who've lost their loved one. We're using a resource, Understanding Your Grief by Dr. Alan Wolfelt, who's got 40 years in ministry doing this. And he's a believer and works in a space where we can work with people of some faith, no faith. And so, but it allows people to have a forum of expressing their, one thing he says is grief is internal, mourning is external. So these grief support groups are part of allowing you an external way to express your internal grief and move to a place of restored life, restored purpose, restored meaning. And so that's the benefit we're trying to provide for people in these.
And is there a phone number to call? Because I think you're always putting together these groups. They meet at different times, I think in Danville and Champaign-Urbana.
Yes.
So give us some information. And listening friend, if you can't write this down, you can always call the station and I'll connect you. In fact, Dr. Kevin Teal is going to be our speaker in August at the Pastor and Ministry Leaders Luncheon to talk more about this as a way to help many churches or organizations find healing and hope through these different OSF grief support support groups, but who would they call or do they contact you?
They can give me a contact at my work cell, which is 309-669-9475, or they can email me at kevin.r.teal@osfhealthcare.org. And I can help them get what we call triage for this, because we do want to talk with people. We want to see where they are in their grief journey, see if they're ready to have an experience like this, because we don't want people there who are not ready. As we talk about grief as a process, mourning's a process. But that would be the way for them to contact me, and I can do some preliminary screening, and we'll share the resource with them. And the meetings are on the first Wednesday at 3:30 in Champaign, the third Wednesday at 3:30 at Danville at the OSF Hospital there. But the screening process would be something that I would do preliminarily, and then we'd see if we can get them to flow into these sessions.
We'll have that information available. Kevin Teal, 309-669-9475, or kevin.r.teal@osfhealthcare.org. It's a great organization. In fact, I appreciate some of the staff that I've interacted with. And you've been on staff with them for how long now?
I started with them in November.
So recently in November, yeah, and helping head up the OSF grief support groups. As mentioned, in Danville, Champaign-Urbana, meetings held in Champaign-Urbana on the first Wednesday of the month, basically 3:30 to 4:30, and then in Danville held on the third Wednesday of the month, 3:30 to 4:30. We'll have that information available, or if you didn't get to write down Kevin's number, we'll have that available for you too. But wow, there is so much more to your story, and I think you listed six or seven different ways or methods or even some timelines to be aware of. Certainly when you go through heartache or grief or a loss of a loved one, there's stages. There's anger at God. There's confusion, but there can be healing. There's hope. A group setting can really reinforce some things that maybe you might not be aware of. I think I just need to have you back to talk through some of those things in the future. But if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, or you know a friend that needs to hear this, maybe they've lost a loved one or there's a situation of great grief, you can give them a link to the program and then they can listen to it and follow up with the phone number or email in Kevin. Stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org, and they can listen to today's program under the Mark and Friends link. Anything else you want to close in our last minute?
I just think God wants us to enjoy life. Life wins. And so death hits us, but it's not the final answer. So I would just encourage people to receive that life, beginning with new life in Christ.
And this flyer that you gave out to the pastors and ministry leaders said, OSF Grief Support Groups brings together individuals who have experienced losses, such as the death of a family member, spouse, child, or sibling, to share experiences, reduce isolation, and develop healthy coping strategies in a safe, non-judgmental environment. Our peer groups are facilitated by professionals. We are here to support our communities. There are no fees to attend our support groups. They are open to all. So kudos to OSF Healthcare, to you, Kevin, and thank you for following the Lord's leading in your life and being passionate about God's word. I just love it and love you, and big hugs to Yvonne, and hope to have you back in the studio again.
Well, thank you, brother. God bless you and Holly.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Dr. Kevin Teal with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.